WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Had a good Easter weekend. We certainly did. And now it's time to get back to business. Lots and lots and lots of stories on the in the stack today. Of course, what won't go away? The Terri Schiavo story won't go away, and there's some stuff you really do deserve to hear in all of this. Not the least of which, you are aware, or you've seen, if you've been anywhere but under a rock, if you've had a television turned on at any point in time, you have seen the footage of these little children going and getting themselves arrested, trying to take water to Terri Schiavo so they can drown her. Here, Ms. Schiavo, would you like a drink of water? Oh. Yeah. She can't swallow. Oh, these morons. But one in particular caught my eye, and it has been, editor and publisher picked up on this one. It was not something you would expect to see in the conservatively biased media by any stretch of the imagination, because everybody there protesting is, you know, they're for life. Never mind the fact that a guy with a box cutter got busted at a gun store somewhere in Florida trying to buy a gun to go and rescue Terri. Never mind the fact that a guy has been busted for putting out an internet hit on Michael Schiavo, the judge. Never mind all that. They're pro-life. But this is the doozy. One of the kids who got arrested was a 10-year-old little fella. His name was Joshua Heldreth, and he has been so thoroughly religiously indoctrinated and hypnotized that he felt like God was calling him to go down and at the age of 10 get arrested. And his father took him there, and his father's name is Scott Heldreth, and he is a member of the right-wing revolutionary. But then, you know, there was a lot of talk about how, Jesus put this on little Joshua's heart, so I had to take him down there, brought him down from North Carolina to Florida. And Scott Heldreth, the father, is a veteran of Operation Rescue. That's
He's
been out there as the mouthpiece for the Schindler family. Randall Terri. The guy with the really bad-looking toupee on his head. Scott Heldreth participated in Operation Rescue with Randall Terri. Scott Heldreth participated in Operation Save America. And he said of his son's desire, Joshua's desire, to go down and get himself arrested, "My wife and I, we felt like if God really put it on his heart, we should come down to allow him to live out what God had put on his heart." Well, do you know what God put on Scott Heldreth's heart? Well, it's not really on his heart. It's on a computer database. More particularly, it's on a database of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Scott Heldreth is... Now, this is the mainstream face of the... I don't know what you call these people anymore. They're certainly not pro-life. But this is the mainstream face of the womb Nazi movement. Scott Heldreth is a convicted sex offender. Of course. He was charged with 2 counts of rape and 1 count of kidnapping. He was convicted. He did time. A lot of probation. Isn't that just sickening? And yeah, while you're at it, you might, if you want to go, you can find a link to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, their sex offender database. You can see a picture of this creep. You can see a picture of the real face of the so-called pro-life movement. convicted kitty diddlers, because if you check the database, you'll also find that it says victim's age, minor. This guy was raping minors, juveniles, children. He's a kitty diddler. He's also a member of the religious right. Anybody want to guess which way this guy votes? Before I have to prove it? You know which way this guy votes. He's a mainstream Republican. He's a killer kitty diddler. Of course he votes Republican. That's part of the sick, sad pathology of Republicanism in America today. The party is full of killers and rapists and perverts. Sure they are. Isn't that nice? Convicted sex offender taking his child down to get arrested for taking water to Terry Schiavo. This is a classy bunch, isn't it? Scott Heldreth. Did CNN report that he was a convicted sex offender, though? Nope. How about Fox News? Nope. How about CBS, NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, ABC? No, 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 no. The Charlotte Observer finally picked up on just who this cretin is. So there's the face of the pro-life movement. There's your mainstream Republican voter out there getting his kid arrested, getting him a criminal record at the age of 10. Of course, no big deal. This guy probably diddled kids that young. Ah, the Republican Party. I don't know how anybody could stand to be proud to be a member of a party that has that in it, but... And, you know, not just him. There's the BTK killer. There's Chris Ruhlman, a voiceover guy from the Left Behind series and afternoon talk show host at Nashville's 94 FM, The Fist, or Fish. You know, that's your Republican Party. Don't blame me. It goes on and that, you know. Timothy McVeigh, good Republican. I don't know how you guys can stand to be in the party. At least not anybody with anything remotely approaching a conscience. And you know, as I mentioned, a guy tried to steal a gun to go and rescue Terry. And like I said, there was also a plot put out on the judge, a hit, an internet hit. Beyond all of that, though, guess what else? It turns out that the judge in this case, Judge Greer, the swamp judge, as the right wing has been calling him, there's one little fact that they don't want to put out there for you. This guy is a so-called Christian, Judge Greer, and he's a member of a Southern Baptist church down there in Florida. Now, he took an oath to support the Constitution and the laws of the state of Florida when he became a judge, and he has done that in the Schiavo case. And what did his church do to him for doing that? His Southern Baptist Church excommunicated him. Charming bunch, aren't they? Listen, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we've got a guest online with us that I think you'll enjoy what she has to tell us about. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. Who are the men and women in the area.
West Virginia Sports Promotions presents
the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Floodlights Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on national TV.
We're sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming this Friday and Saturday to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. See up to 100 area men and women slug it out for thousands in prize money and tough man jackets. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. Good seats still available, starting at just $12 for general admission. Reserved and VIP ringside seats also available. Get your tickets today at the Raleigh County Armory or any Ticketmaster outlet, including Kroger. Charge by phone at 304-342-5757. For additional information or to sign up, call 1-800-296-3897.
That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 25th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on national TV. Coming this Friday and Saturday night in Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
Top it out.
Now through March 31st, you pick the down, you pick the payment at Ramey Chevrolet Pontiac GMC. Just announced factory incentives mean you can drive a new Chevrolet truck for as low as $209 down, $209 a month. Buy new Pontiac cars from $177 down, $177 a month. That's right, with factory incentives, you can drive a new Chevy truck as low as $209 down, $209 a month. Buy new Pontiac cars from $177 down, just $177 a month. And listen to this, from March 31st, Ramey will match your down payment with a discount up to $1,000 on used cars and trucks. You pick your down, you pick your payment on new. We'll match your down up to $1,000 on used. Our hurry these offers end on March 31st at Ramey Chevrolet Pontiac GMC in Preston and Richlands, and Ramey Chevrolet Chaswell, or online at RameyCars.com. Do the deal.
Includes all factory incentives and rebates, tax title and fees, actually with approved credit, 05 Colorado payments based on 209 down, 4.99% APR for 72 months, 05 Sunfire payments based on 177 down, 4.99% APR for 72 months.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back, 17 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. I wanted to share a little information with you about a huge effort that is going on in the country right now. About a million people are sought to get involved in drafting a declaration in opposition to the Iraq War based on faith and religious principles. Rita Brock is with us now. Are you there, Rita?
I am.
Oh, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This is a project that you're in the front of, right?
This write-in, yes. Yes, I'm with a coalition of actually 50 different groups that are trying to create a new moral voice in the country, and so we're getting together to write something against the Iraq War.
And you're going to be using, you're looking for interaction from people all over the country, right?
That's right. We have an innovative new technology that is specifically ours that allows people to actually be in dialogue in real time and present their best ideas and share and learn from each other and write together.
That's very exciting. Is there a specific website for this?
Yes, it's called www.peacenotpoverty.org. And you have to register by noon tomorrow to participate. It's on the 30th of March. It's a two-hour time commitment, and there are a bunch of different appointment times that you can choose from.
Wonderful. Do you have any idea how many registrants you have so far?
We have something like 10,000 now. I don't know that we'll get a million, but we do. Our co-sponsoring groups actually represent 70 million people.
My goodness. How did this idea come about?
The idea came about partly because we had this technology and a group of religious leaders were meeting and discussing what we could do to begin to create what we call a nationwide community of conscience to move the country politically on issues that we think are really important, like economic justice and peace. And we had, because of the anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech against Vietnam on April 4th, we had this idea to do something around this time.
Well, so I take it that, with a website name like peacenotpoverty.org, is it safe for me to assume that you believe that that issues of faith in the moral dialogue in America today extend a little bit further than Ten Commandments rocks and anti-abortion protests?
Definitely. I think if you're a Christian and you look at your New Testament and you ask how many times did Jesus talk about posting Ten Commandments, or about gay marriage, or about abortion, it's really hard to find much at all. But if you look at how many times he spoke against war and economic exploitation of children and the poor and people, you wouldn't have much of a Bible left if you took the comments about peace and justice out.
Well, that's the view that I share. Tell us a little bit about some of the organizations that are involved in this coalition.
We have Jewish groups involved. We have Muslim and Sikh groups. We have a Buddhist Peace Fellowship group. We have the Baptist Peace Fellowship. We have True Majority. We have United for Peace and Justice. We have clergy, African American Women's Clergy Association. We have Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Push Coalition. So we have over 50 co-sponsoring organizations that run the spectrum in religious affiliation and also are not necessarily religious but want to be in partnership with religious progressives.
How long ago did you start putting this together?
We conceived a plan in early February. A group of people from some of these organizations met, and we conceived a plan and started to talk about how we could do it, and we actually hired some software engineers to help us get this program ready for this, you know, as many people as wanted to join in. And we started planning a service at Riverside Church on April 4th on the anniversary of King's Speech. And this declaration will be read there. And whoever comes out of the process as the consensus leader, we will fly them to New York City to be part of the service.
And just to reiterate, anyone wishing to participate has to register by noon tomorrow?
Yes, at peacenotpoverty.org.
Okay. Yes. And so, of course, the Riverside Church has a long and estimable history in the peace and anti-poverty movement.
Yes.
Did they come on board early?
Yes, they were part of the planning process, and their Justice Commission is a co-sponsor, and they're the host church for the service. And Jim Forbes, the senior pastor, will be speaking at the service along with 19 other people.
My goodness.
We have two mothers of soldiers who've died are speaking at the service as well.
I should think that will carry a special weight.
I think it does. One of them lost her son on that very day a year ago.
Mercy. Now, you referenced Dr. King's speech regarding Vietnam.
Yes.
I've read from it on the show from time to time,
mm-hmm.
but what is it that makes that so especially moving if people don't know about it?
The thing that I find just astonishing about that speech is the way he warned the country that if we were going to continue down this road and not reclaim our moral soul, that in another generation people were going to be standing in that church again, speaking against a whole other set of wars.
And here we are.
Here we are. That's right.
Do you perceive the support for the war was very, very vocal, and those of us who opposed it early on felt very much intimidated. Do you see that as a shift, or is that shifting away from the vocal support for what we're doing there?
Well, yes, I think, in fact, all the polls show that the majority of the country is very uneasy about what's happening there. And my feeling about the write-in is whether or not you supported the war in the beginning, if you are now really feeling we need to end this war, we want you on the write-in.
So a
lot of people have changed their minds.
Yeah. All kinds of people are welcome.
That's right. That's right. We really are serious about a nationwide community of conscience. And if you really do believe peace is important and the way this war is going is not good and you want us to get out, then join the write-in. Because I think what we have to figure out is how we are going to get out.
Without giving anything away or getting too technical, can you explain how the technology is going to work?
It's very simple. If you can order a book from Amazon or send an email, you can use it.
Wow.
You don't need anything special except an internet browser and a hookup to the internet.
And that will, but people will be in contact with other people in real time, as you mentioned.
That's right. You'll go in there and you'll log in and you'll see a screen and it'll give you a set of instructions, and you have to say 5 minutes to make an outline of your thoughts on the values of peace, and then you send it in, and in a split second you'll see you'll be in a small group of eight people. You'll see eight outlines, and you get to pick the one you like the best to work from, and then you'll be asked to write text. And then you'll submit to your whole group, and you'll see what everybody wrote. And then you get to pick what you like best, and you work with that through a period of 2 hours.
Well, that is just amazing, Ms. Brock. Are there any future plans for the group beyond this?
Yes, we plan to keep using the technology to address all kinds of major issues that are around religious values and social values for the country that we think religious people need to talk about. So we want to do abortion at some point and mm-hmm. bring pro-life and pro-choice people together to talk about that. We'll probably do a whole bunch of issues.
Well, I certainly hope you will keep us posted as you do. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Thank you, and I want everybody to get there by noon tomorrow to peacenotpoverty.org and register for the write-in.
Exactly. Peace, not poverty, all one word, .org by noon. Then that's noon Eastern tomorrow, correct?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Ms. Brock, thank you so very much for taking
you.
Time to call in.
It was a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, a pleasure chatting with you, and I'm going to look forward to participating in this.
Oh, good, good. Great. We'll see you online.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You know, here's an opportunity for you to let the rubber meet the road, so to speak. An opportunity to really participate in a discussion about the direction of the nation. And I hope you will. You have until noon tomorrow, the 29th, you have until noon tomorrow to register at peacenotpoverty.org. And then the actual online experience is on March the 30th, that is Wednesday. And I think she said it's about a 2-hour commitment. But this, and you know, if you're at all curious about what motivated this, go and read Martin Luther King's April 4th speech at the Riverside Church in New York, and you'll get a pretty good idea. This is an amazing list of people: Faith Voices for the Common Good, Clergy and Laity Network, National Council of Churches, Fellowship of Reconciliation, Gold Star Families, the Tikkun Community, Unitarian Universalist Association, the Shalom Center, the Sikh World Council, Protestants for the Common Good, Baptist Peace Fellowship of North America. I had no idea that group even existed. The United Churches of Christ, Disciples Justice Action Network, Church of the Brethren, Peace Witness Office, Rainbow Push Coalition, Clergy and Laity Network, The Witness Magazine, One Life Institute, Peace and Security Project of Iowa, Episcopal Divinity School, Consortium for Urban Pastoral Education. This is an impressive coalition of individuals. And if you are concerned about the future of our country, and if you believe that the moral fabric of our country, as I mentioned earlier, is made up of far more than rocks in schools and the so-called pro-life movement, I urge you to go and have a look at peacenotpoverty.org. The phone number, if you want to get involved in the conversation tonight, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We stream live for you on the Internet every night at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. Could it get any easier? Well, yeah, there's email, too, bob@headonradio.com and WWNR@netphase.net. One of those ways is bound to appeal to you. It's time for our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, your phone calls and more. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
WWNR News, the Office of Emergency Services is warning West Virginians to be on the lookout for landslides because of so much rain. The agency says wet spring weather promotes slippage and residents should be aware of the warning signs. OES Director Steve Kappa says West Virginia is particularly susceptible to landslides because of the terrain. He says residents should be aware of the land around them and listen for any unusual sounds. And he's also cautioned motorists to be careful when driving automobiles near embankments. A major landslide on West Virginia 2 in Marshall County is being blamed for a 2-car accident last week that has killed one person. State Division of Highways officials say it will be until Friday before that stretch of highway is reopened. Preliminary work is being done on a site proposed for a shopping center on Route 19 in Fayetteville. Paramount Land Development Corporation is seeking approval for a zoning change that would allow it to build a shopping mall featuring a Walmart, Lowe's, and 13 other stores within Fayetteville town limits. Its first application was overturned by Raleigh County Circuit Judge Robert Burnside. The corporation reapplied, and the Fayetteville Planning Commission ruled its application complete on February 28th. A West Virginia soldier is the latest casualty in the war in Iraq. The Department of Defense reported today that Corporal Brian Richardson of Summersville was killed in hostile action. He was 23. It happened on Friday of last week near an Iraqi province. Richardson served with a Moundsville-based unit. He was assigned to Marine Forces Reserve's 3rd Battalion, 25th Marine Regiment, 4th Marine Division from Moundsville. For this evening, partly cloudy, showers and possible thunderstorms, low near 40 degrees, and then for tomorrow, showers lingering in the morning, believe it or not, partly cloudy the rest of the day with a high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
After 3 years of organizing and a 10-day hunger strike, workers at Georgetown University claimed a living wage victory last week. Jack Mahoney is a member of the Georgetown Living Wage Coalition, who helped coordinate the campaign. Mahoney says that although they didn't get every single thing they were looking for, it's a victory because campus workers will begin receiving $13 per hour in July of this year and $14 by July 2007. That's up from the current $11.33 per hour.
And there's also all sorts of non-monetary benefits like freedom of association, guarantees, and grievance procedures that are set up formally now that will be great materially for workers in the future.
More than 20 students took part in the hunger strike that ended when Georgetown President John J. DeGoya announced a new policy on Wednesday that reflected many of the concessions sought by the coalition.
If you ever needed a self-defense manual on the job to assert your rights against abuses by the boss, Labor Notes can supply it. A Troublemaker's Handbook 2, How to Fight Back Where You Work and Win, is designed to empower workers looking for tactics to win justice on the job. Editor Jane Slaughter says more than 70 authors tell their stories and share their expertise on collective tactics workers anywhere can use.
It's a collection of examples of people who have done just that. People who, in their own workplaces, usually through their unions, although not always, have used all sorts of tactics to keep management from doing things like speeding them up, privatizing their jobs.
The struggle for power at the workplace, Slaughter says, is about more than money and working conditions. It's about who makes society's most fundamental decisions that govern our lives.
Well, we at Labor Notes hope that it will encourage people that they can take some measure of control over their working lives.
Labor Notes hopes this book will inspire workers everywhere to organize, fight back, and win.
A probe into Walmart's finances has resulted in a board member resigning over inconsistencies of nearly $500,000. The probe was initiated by the world's largest retailer and resulted in Thomas Coughlin, the former CEO of the company's store division, being asked to step down from his position. A report from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is unclear as to what role Coughlin had with the discrepancies. Last month, the company's hometown of Bentonville, Arkansas, announced plans to name the new public library after Coughlin.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Women workers in the U.S. suffer a disproportionately high number of ergonomic injuries on the job, costing them more money and more time off the job, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Upper body injuries suffered by women workers most commonly affect the wrists, shoulders and elbows, neck, hands and back. Workers most affected by these injuries tend to be in lower wage jobs. Women account for 64% of repetitive motion injuries while making up just 44% of the workforce, and women get more carpal tunnel injuries than men as well as more tendinitis. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's Bob Kincaid, head on.
I told you it wouldn't be long, and it wasn't. Oh, let's see, it's about 25 minutes before 8 o'clock, give or take a few seconds. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We have talked a lot with this endless Terri Schiavo tragedy about the personalities involved. You know now from listening earlier in the program that one of the heroes of the pro-life movement, this Heldreth fellow, is a convicted kitty diddler. Yeah, what am I talking about? Kitty rapist. He's a kitty rapist. That's the sort of people that the pro-life movement engages. Okay? That's why I tell you that they're morally and spiritually dead, and of course they are. And in the center of all of this has been a great deal about congressman, would you dare defile that word with this name, Tom DeLay, who so cynically injected himself into this process to, in part to get the heat off of him because he's one of the dirtiest members of Congress who has ever entered those halls. It only gets worse. Under almost any other circumstance, it's almost laughable hypocrisy. But while Tom DeLay moved in to interject himself and the entire Congress of the United States into the Terri Schiavo matter, you know, the living hell of one family, because we've got to have, remember, what's the phrase? Cut your life. It's got to be a cut your life. And we got to err on the side of life. And as I reminded you a week or so ago, part of that cut your life was deliberately euthanizing a six-month-old baby because the child and his parents had no money to pay for his necessary neonatal intensive care. But the cut your life killed him in Tom DeLay's own home state of Texas. And, like I said, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be even worse. Or it would be laughable. Can it get any worse? 65-year-old drilling contractor some several years ago, about 1988, I believe it was, had a freak accident at his home. And he was on life support, artificial life support, just like Terri Schiavo's feeding tube. And a family decision was made, and the 65-year-old man was basically going to be a vegetable for the rest of his days. And of course, the family made a family decision against persisting in a hellish shadow existence. That was Tom DeLay's father. Tom DeLay's father was in a very much similar situation to that of Terri Schiavo, and Tom DeLay and the family came together and they exercised, because of course there was no living will, just like Terri Schiavo, and they pulled the plug, literally, on Tom DeLay's father and let him expire with a little bit of dignity. There were no protesters outside the hospital. There were no pro-lifers. There was no catcher of life. There was no wheedly, whiny-voiced friar from Wisconsin talking about how everybody had to suffer till the very end of their days because, well, that's what religious dogma says. Maxine DeLay is Tom's mama. She's 81 years old. She gave an interview last week. She said there was really no point to even talking about it. There was no way Mr. DeLay wanted to live like that. Tom knew, we all knew, his father wouldn't have wanted to live that way. When Mr. DeLay's father's kidneys failed, the family decided against connecting him to a dialysis machine. The medical report says, and I quote, extraordinary measures to prolong life were not initiated. And it also noted there was agreement with the family's wishes. The bedside chart had an instruction. It's commonly known in the healthcare field as DNR. Do not resuscitate. December 14th, 1988, Charles DeLay passed away with his family there at his side. Both of the patients, Mr. DeLay and Mrs. Shivo, were severely brain damaged. Neither of them were capable of surviving without medical assistance. And in both cases, while there was no written document, they were both said to have evinced a desire not to live in that sort of artificial state. So I think you have to ask the question of yourself, why does Tom DeLay's family make this decision in peace and honor and dignity and quietude and solitude and reverence? And yet Terry Schiavo has to have a circus outside her building. Moreover, you've got to remember, Terry Schiavo is not the only person in that building there in Pinellas Park, Florida. There are a lot of other patients who are coming to the ends of their roads and days. And they have to do it with a bunch of screaming idiots in the streets. One woman was called to the hospice because her grandfather was slipping away. And in trying to get through the protesters and past the police line, it took about an extra 4 minutes, and they were the last 4 minutes of her grandfather's life, and she got to him too late. Because of idiots like those couple of friars, because of people like this, this kitty rapist, because of Randall Terry from Operation Rescue, because of people painting American flag posters with literally Terry Schiavo on a cross. This is so sickening. There are, it's not just Terry Schiavo. There are other people in that building whose lives, the ends of their lives, are being dirtied, made filthy by these cannibals from the Right to Life movement. Why anyone would ever associate themselves with that group, I have no idea. It's an industry, and it's a sick and sad industry of a manipulative nature that is, at least in my opinion, worse in many ways than the worst forms of prostitution. And Tom DeLay is at the center of it. Mercy. And now Tom DeLay, for the last 2 years, won't even speak to his 81-year-old mother. I said it before, I'll say it again. When that man comes to the point where his little life is rounded with a sleep, like Shakespeare said, he's going to hear the fluttering of bat wings by his ears as the demons get ready to cart him off to the eternal torment that will be his reward for the life that he has led. The phone number is 252-6200 outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I trust you had a good Easter?
Reasonably well. And yourself?
Pretty much.
And your daughter's birthday?
Indeed. She had a very, very happy birthday.
Very good. I want to direct your attention to several articles in this week's New SDS and World Report.
Mm-hmm.
And it's March 28th edition, and one is specifically about your favorite buddy, Mr. DeLay. On page 42, will the hammer fall? And I can guarantee you one thing. It is basically they chronicle all of his wrongdoings.
And they are legion.
Oh. One thing about it, now, he's not dirty because his nickname used to be Hot Tub Tom.
Right. Very few people know that.
Oh, yeah. He used to enjoy his hot tubs and stuff before he, I guess, stopped drinking that barley water and also stopped smoking cigarettes. But the more interesting article is called Who's Minding Congress on page 46. Now, Tom's little obituary is on page 42. But Who's Binding Congress by Gloria Borger in the column on politics has to do, it compares Congress if it were treated under the same laws as some of the corporations are. And one paragraph just says, can't the public just throw the bums out? Sure it can, but there's this. So many House districts have been redrawn to virtually ensure re-election. 99% were re-elected in 2004, that all the leverage is all but gone. The absence of competition breeds the arrogance of power. Now, there's a good sentence for you.
Oh, yes.
The absence of competition breeds the arrogance of power, which is what we're watching unfold in the House. The irony, of course, is that the arrogance is precisely what Republicans railed against when they became the congressional majority in 95. They have morphed into their old enemy.
Haven't they, though?
I thought you might find those two articles in U.S. News and World Report, March 28th. First one on 42, Will the Hammer Fall, and Who's Minding Congress on page 46, of great interest.
I will go and I will read them.
I'll tell you, Tom DeLacy had quite an interesting career. 11 times he's been reelected, and it says now, even in his own district, last election, he only carried 53% of his own district, or the most important county. And that is basically, let's see here, Fort Bend County,
mm-hmm.
His longtime stronghold. And it says some got elected around here when all you had to do was put Republicans in front of your name, says Republican Beverly Carter. But, you know, they say now the people are just saying, we're not going to vote for him just because he's our SOB.
Right.
And basically, when all the stuff starts falling off the man, and it says, meanwhile, the pressure is building, Washington Democrats say they'll keep the heat on delay when they return next month and attempt to flush him out. And his Republican colleagues from the blind and bear criminal cases against this man. And I'll guarantee you one thing. When these people start saying either we can either stick behind delay or do time in a Texas prison, they might have another thought.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll leave Tom like rats off a sinking ship. There's no doubt about that, Jim.
I mean, this guy is just, I don't know.
Well, he literally does not speak to his mother anymore, and she's 81. What do you say, you know, as a son of the South, as am I, what do you say about a guy who won't speak to his 81-year-old mama?
I wonder what caused that rift. Just because he's so disgusting in her eyes?
You don't know. Now, we do know this much. You know, I was talking about the business with the end of his father's life. They turned, you know, Tom was instrumental in pushing all this tort reform garbage. Guess what they did? In regard to his father, they sued someone. It was a freak accident involving a tram car. They sued the manufacturer, and they made a horse gagging load of money out of it. But that's okay for the DeLay family. It's just the rest of us that aren't good enough to do that.
Well, the man hasn't exactly been honest, even when he was a private businessman, because his extermination company had liens filed against about the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, yeah, three or four times, wasn't it?
Yeah, and also he has a business partner that he swindled a bunch of money out of. And I think there are a lot of people who would love to come forward and just tell the world what kind of man he is.
You use the word man loosely, I'm not sure.
I couldn't say what I would say on the air, but
yes,
I just use that, or what kind of critter, whatever, or I don't know. But I thought that you might want to take a look at that. And your guest, yeah, I got your email, and now the format of that is you have to go back online, and then you interact with some people,
right?
And you present an outline first of what your thoughts are.
Right, and then you flesh it out with text. It's about a two-hour process, as I understand it.
Hmm.
It sounds pretty exciting, though, because it's very much, it's not like a chat room exactly, but it's real time. And you get the idea that they're going to put you together with, you know, they're going to be pretty diverse groups, but it's going to be eight people to a group.
And the suspense date on it is noon tomorrow.
For the registration, correct.
And the actual meeting, so to speak, quote, quote, is on the 30th?
Yeah, Wednesday.
And what time will that be? All day?
I'm not sure. The appointments are set up there online, if I understood her correctly. So you can make it as you can make it as convenient as you want, I think.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, and, indeed. I hope you participate, Jim.
Well, I may have a few thoughts to throw in the barrel. It never hurts.
Sure, exactly.
And but like I say, anything to, you know, as I said before, from the sparks will come the flame.
Right. Well, this is a way to, you know, this is a way to blow on the embers a little bit.
Well, that's the way I look at it. I mean, you know, it's inch by inch, anything's a cinch. But I'll tell you something. These people have really exposed themselves with the Chavo thing.
Oh, yes, they're monsters.
Now, this child molester, was that the one with the blonde hair who was out there blowing around in the breeze? Was he the one you talked about?
No, this was the father. I think you're talking the guy with the tight little curls that looked like a real bad toupee. That was Randall Terry.
And he is a child molester.
No. Randall Terry's the head of Operation Rescue, and this guy worked with him. Has worked with him in Operation Rescue. Let's see.
Sometimes a strange kind of rescuing.
Yeah, the guy's name is Scott Heldreth, Heldreth. It was his 10-year-old son Joshua who was arrested for trespassing.
What a way to use your child.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that is using. Okay.
Now they had some guy on this afternoon in place of Dr. O'Brien's show. Who was that? It wasn't Wiener Savage.
Well, it was a guy filling in for the Savage Wiener. That was Michael or Peter Wiseback or something.
I've heard this guy before.
Yeah, I mean he's.
Do y'all have plague down there? I understand the morning host was off too.
Well, you know, well, yeah. At least I came crawling in, Jim.
I'm glad you did. I heard that. Dr. O'Brien was sick, and then, of course, the other one, well, I could care less. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I mean, you know, I thought, oh, my God, Kim Komando, now I really have something to listen to. I mean, you know, at least I can get tips from my computer instead of a bunch of guffawing and somebody blowing their lung all over the air.
I don't know what happened. I didn't know Dr. Bill wasn't going to be in today. But you know me. If I can get here and I can breathe, I'll do it.
Well, that's what I call devotion to duty.
Well, I feel lost for two days every weekend, Jim.
Well, I imagine so. You certainly have the convictions of your own soul, and I appreciate your sharing them with people, and I think a lot of other people do too. And you know, you never can tell who's listening to this program.
Oh, we've got listeners all over the world now.
I've heard people call in from different parts of the.
And the emails. I mean, the emails. Most of them I answer and don't have time to go through, Jim. But thanks to the good offices of Ben Birch and the White Rose Society, literally all over the country, the show's growing by leaps and bounds.
Now, how is that White Rose Society thing work? You have every of your all of your broadcasts are basically recorded.
Right. He archives the stream of the program every night, and then you go to whiterosesociety.org, you click on the link to Head On, and it shows you date by date each individual show, and you click it, you download it, you can listen to it, you can save it, whatever.
Huh? Like on an MP3?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. I don't know of any other programs that are being done. I mean, you know, around here that are being done that way.
Oh, around here, absolutely none. Around the country, though, Ben is the hub for liberal talk radio and archives thereof. Whether it's Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy, the Young Turks. There's a lot of great radio going on out there. And Ben archives a whole bunch of them.
Well, that's great. Now, where does this guy operate from?
Ben's in Illinois.
Illinois. So basically, his main server would be somewhere in Illinois. That's where you'd pick it up at.
That I don't know. I don't know exactly where the technology is.
To make a difference.
Right. But it's surprisingly fast. I mean, if you've got any kind of speed on your computer at all, you click on it and boom, it's there.
Well, I'm going to have to look that up because I've been meaning to, but I've been having, well, you know how it is.
Yeah. Well, do if you get a chance, Jim, go and have a look at whiteroadsociety.org.
Well, I guess I'm on there too with you.
Yeah, you are. You're on the show, and what's more, look at why Ben calls it the White Rose Society.
Oh, because of Hans and Sophie Scholl.
Exactly.
Back in the thing in Munich during World War II.
Correct.
Yeah, those kids were beheaded, weren't they?
Was it beheaded?
I think they were. That was normal.
I know they were murdered.
Yeah, they were beheaded. One was maybe the garrote, but I think they beheaded. They were brother and sister, weren't they?
Well, two of them were, yeah. But what a brave little band.
Yeah, to pass out leaflets in Hitler's Germany.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That takes a little bit of guts.
The White Rose.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I wish you and your friends the very best with this commemoration of people of conscience write in is what it's called, I believe.
Right.
And let's hope that Mr. DeLay will get his comeuppance pretty soon. Maybe he would do well in a Texas jail.
Big darkness soon come.
Well, I mean, that's where he's headed, my friend. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, it's just a pity it won't be a really nasty jail. It'll be one of the, he'll probably wind up in the country club in Ashland. What is it? Did they actually name that after Archmore? I can't remember. We got to roll, though, Jim. Thanks so much.
You're a devil.
I try. Later. Okay, the top of the hour news coming, and after that, more of your phone calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. A little bit more detail on the upright and moral Mr. DeLay. You're going to love it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. Mm. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Kath, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley. Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
We're back. 5.5 minutes after 8. I'm Bob. This is Head On. A little, as we contemplate peacenotpoverty.org and the people of conscience write-in that is, you got to register by noon tomorrow, and the actual write-in will take place on Wednesday the 30th. And it's about contemplating an outline for peace, for not blowing stuff up just because we can. And along those lines, one of the things you might want to consider is the role of the United States in contributing to a state of non-peace in the world. Poll after poll after poll now indicates that more people in the world view the United States as the greatest threat to peace on the planet. Hilda sent this in from Sacramento, California. It's an article, the title is On the USA's Tragic Withdrawal from the Rule of Law. Pentagon confirms that unilateral preemptive strikes are now U.S. policy. Remember when it was just the Bush Doctrine? That we would blow up anybody we wanted to for any reason, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, anywho. Now it is official United States policy. And this particular article is written by Evan Augustine Peterson III, who apparently holds a law degree. Douglas Fife, remember Douglas Fife? One of the princes of darkness and death that is part and parcel of the Bush junta. He said this: there are various actors around the world that are looking to attack or constrain the United States, and they're going to find creative ways to do that that are not the obvious conventional military attacks. We need to think broadly about diplomatic lines of attack, legal lines of attack, all kinds of asymmetric warfare that various actors can use to try to constrain and shape our behavior. And Mr. Peterson, Dr. Peterson, writes, consider Mr. Fife's absurdly hyper-militarized Orwellian conflations, which are either criminally ignorant or deliberately evil. I opt for the latter. Where Douglas Fife or Paul Wolfowitz or any of these blood-fisted monsters are concerned, I go for deliberately evil. One, he defames diplomacy and adjudication by unjustly conflating them with insidious methods of quote-unquote attack. And two, he inexplicably conflates any actor, whether individual, group, or national, who contends that America must honor its treaty obligations with asymmetric warfare against the USA, despite the fact that duly ratified treaties are the supreme law of the land under Article 6 of the United States Constitution. Now, that's not so much gobbledygook. We are a nation of laws and not of men. Because if we're not a nation of laws, we're not a civilized country. Consider, if you will, Donald Rumsfeld having an absolute screaming hissy about the government of Venezuela purchasing 100,000 AK-47s. And President Hugo Chavez in Venezuela has made it clear that he expects the Bush administration, and so do I, to try to murder him. They tried to pull the California garbage and have him removed from office in an Arnold situation. They tried to the CIA helped in staging a coup in Venezuela. Why wouldn't they try to bump him off? Because it is you do know what Venezuela has, right? Venezuela is the only non-Middle Eastern member of OPEC, unless I miss my guess or I'm mistaken. I don't think I am. And between Canada and Venezuela, we get more of our foreign oil from there than we do from the entire Middle East put together, at least according to the last numbers I saw from the Federal Energy Commission, the FEC. Consider, here's the new national security policy. How does this play into an idea of peace? Except for the Orwellian sense of perpetual war for perpetual peace. The Bush administration declares that it has a unique right to engage in a legally standardless, preemptive, preventive war against anyone, anywhere, anytime, even if it merely feels subjectively threatened by the theoretical possibility that it might be attacked at some undefined place in the infinite future. And B, any diplomatic or legal disagreement with the U.S. under international law is going to be construed as such an attack. Do you understand how profound this is? Disagreeing with the United States in the twisted minds of Paul Wolfowitz and Donald Rumsfeld and Douglas Feith and George Bush and Dick Cheney. Disagreeing with the United States is an act of war. Now, is that the response of a republic or a democracy, or is that the response of a totalitarian fascist state? You tell me. I'm thinking fascist. You disagree with us, and it's an attack. For instance, what I just mentioned, President Hugo Chavez wants to buy 100,000 AK-47s to protect his country. Now, he hasn't threatened us, but we disagree with that, so that is a threatening gesture. We're threatened by Venezuela. So that's, what, a good reason to go and steal their oil because it's in our hemisphere, so it should be ours anyway? Is that the way it works? That's some frightening stuff. You ready to send your kid to Venezuela to get... I said some time back, never mind the Venezuelan army or air force. There are... Venezuela's got those poison dart frogs that if you look at them hard, you die. They're so poison. They've got anacondas down there in the marshes that can swallow people. Perhaps entire marine divisions. I don't want no. I don't want my friends. I don't want my family. I don't want my kids. I don't want anybody. I don't want people I don't know going to fight in Venezuela because of the Bush doctrine of we'll kill anybody we want to over any reason we want to. Mr. Peterson, Dr. Peterson mentions a wonderful, wonderful quote that you can see a photograph on a tombstone if you go to WhiteRoseSociety.org from time to time. And it's Latin, and it goes as follows, quis custodiat ipsos custodes, quis custodiat ipsos custodes, who will guard the guardians themselves? Who guards the guards? Because you see, that's the situation we've got here. If we are the world's only lone superpower, and we can attack anybody we want to for any reason we have, what then is to keep us in check? What then is to keep us from making war on the entire world? China? Well, we are afraid of China, for good reason. But, you know, the administration's having a hissy about 100,000 AK-47s. When, and did you catch this toward the end of the week last week? We're selling a boatload, literally a boatload, the freighter load, it's huge, of F-16s, fighter planes, to Pakistan. And the CIA itself has said that by, 10, 15 years, Pakistan will be a failed state. Now, Pakistan has nukes. Pakistan has no interest in catching Osama bin Laden. Remember, I shared the story with you a couple of weeks ago. President Musharraf says, missed him by this much. And says, yeah, but the trail's gone cold now. Sorry, you know, do hope you'll try again sometime. And they've got nukes, and now we're going to sell them F-16 fighter jets that once once Pakistan becomes a failed state and the criminally insane pseudo-Islamic groups take hold of the government, they'll have those planes to use on us. Who did that? The Bush administration did that. Where is the right wing that was having such a hissy over some satellite, some launch technology that was sold legitimately and legally to China? Remember the L'Oreal Corporation? You remember Flush Flembaugh? My friends, The Clinton administration is clearly treasonous, allowing this missile and satellite technology to be sold to China so that they can use it to upgrade their ICBMs to use against us. Never mind that there was no ICBM technology involved, yada, yada, yada. But do you remember that? Where are they now? Where is the hypocritical, filthy right wing of the United States now that we're selling F-16s to Pakistan that are eventually going to be used against us? I'll tell you where they are. They're down in front of the hospice in Pinellas Park, Florida, howling about Terry Schiavo and prostituting her shuffling off this mortal coil because they think that it will appeal to the knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing right wing of the party. That's where they are. Oh, but they're going to keep America safe. Right! So thank you very much to Hilda in Sacramento for sending this article along. Liberty.hypermart.net is where this article came from. If you go and search for Evan Augustine Peterson III, J.D., you'll find it. On the USA's tragic withdrawal from the rule of law, Pentagon confirms that unilateral preemptive strikes are now U.S. policy. Go and have a read of it. It's one of those things that will kind of keep you up at night if you're actually paying attention. Do that. Listen, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I've got all kinds of stuff to make your hair stand on end. I'll keep you guessing. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
There's a right way and a wrong way to bring jobs to West Virginia. There's a high road and a low road. The low road leads to reduced wages and benefits for West Virginia workers. It's a road marked by giveaways and sweetheart deals for those in the fast lane, but it's a dead end for the rest of us. The road less traveled is the high road. It leads to good jobs, fair wages, and responsible development. It's a little harder to navigate, but it's well worth the trip. A message from the Ag Foundation.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search,
where there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
we're there.
When disaster strikes,
we're one volunteer force,
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
So, while we decide that we can attack anyone for any reason, anywhere, at any time, merely for disagreeing with us, and by doing that we affirm the culture of life and err on the side of life, well, let's draw the focus back in a little bit to Wild Wonderful and our West Virginia home and see what the culture of life is up to here. Well, looks like Pay attention now. 19% of those people who are on Medicaid now in West Virginia aren't going to be for much longer. Because we have to cut $156 million in Medicaid expenses because of the catcher of life. Okay? $156 million, 19% of the people on Medicaid. Those people that we're looking at cutting are what are called optional recipients of Medicaid. More Orwell speak. They're optional because the federal government doesn't say we have to cover them, but the state chooses to cover them. So they're optional Medicaid. No, they're not optionally sick. The fact that it wasn't an option for them to become ill. But it was an option for George W. Bama Baby to submit a budget that massacres Medicaid. It was optional for Tom DeLay to ramrod through $15 billion in Medicaid cuts in Washington. Damn, do I just despise that man? I loathe the air he breathes and the ground upon which he walks. That un-American graftmeister from Sugarland, Texas. $15 billion he wants to cut out of Medicaid, but, you know, no gripes about selling F-16s to Pakistan. Nope. But they're very upset about the 100,000 AK-47s in Venezuela. What does that say? What does that say about the culture of life? Jump in there, and DEL1. We've heard this before. Let's hear it again. Tom DeLay, the culture of life.
One thing that God has brought to us is Terry Schiavo to elevate the visibility of what's going on in America.
To elevate the visibility of what's going on in America. In some ways, that freak may be right. Because they have certainly managed to elevate the visibility of what the Republican Party really thinks about America as a whole. Because when you cut $15 billion from the budget for Medicaid, it sort of puts paid to the idea of a culture of life. Sick son of a guns. So we're going to lose $156 million in Medicaid money here in West Virginia. And there are matching funds involved. And, of course, here at home, we're looking at having to pay back $500 million because the coal companies just don't feel like they've got enough money. So the matching funds will have to come out of the $500 million that we pay back. Thank you, Big Coal. Thank you for keeping the lights on in West Virginia. So the matching funds won't be there. We got to cut the budget anyway. Turns out Big Coal needs the money worse than your granny does in the nursing home. You get it? There's your culture of life. These sick pukes. You know, this isn't Logan's Run. This is Logan's Walker. You know, we're fond of the lottery in West Virginia. Let's have a Medicaid lottery. And every week, see which senior citizen gets to keep their medical coverage. Or see which disabled child, let's see which asthmatic child gets to continue to get their breathing medications. Let's see, a roulette wheel. Yeah. Sorry, Johnny! Try not to breathe so hard, will you? Because the medicine won't be there because we got a catcher of life and a leader of the catcher of life in Washington by the name of Tom DeLay who wants to cut $15 billion from Medicaid. So, little Johnny, you can't have your medicine. Eat dirt and die, Johnny. You Republicans out there, aren't the little hairs standing up on the back of your necks and the little tingles running up and down your yellow spines? Feeling so proud to be sharing a party with Tom DeLay and George Bush and their catcher of life? Aren't you proud? Doesn't it make you feel good? Now, being all pro-life, how's the right going to feel when these people, these optional recipients of Medicaid, get cut off? How's the catcher of life going to explain that, justify it, rationalize it? Department of Health and Human Resources Secretary Martha Walker told the Senate Finance Committee in Charleston that the state was out of options and cuts to the program would be painful. No, Miss Martha, cuts to the program will be fatal. I hate these weasel words.
Cuts to the program will be painful.
No, sweetheart, they're going to be deadly. But we need a tax rebate for big coal, don't we? Beautiful, isn't it? State nursing home and hospital officials say any cuts in reimbursement rates could cause health care costs to increase and perhaps also layoffs. So there will be one less nursing assistant, there will be one less LPN, one less RN going in to help turn Granny so she doesn't get bed sores. Thank God we have a catcher of life. Thank God we have a legislature that busts its hump to make sure the Lacey Peterson law gets through, but doesn't give a tinker's damn about the people who are already alive in West Virginia and can't spare any of its precious judicial time to come up with $156 million to cover the shortfall. Didn't take much time finding that $45 million for the workers' comp bailout, though, did it? Gotta wonder, don't you? Where do their priorities lay? And when will we teach them a little bit at the ballot box about what their priorities ought to be? Or will we ever? You just don't know. Time for our bottom of the hour break and a little commentary from Jim Hightower when we come back. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. It just makes you want to... never mind. It's a... People make me crazy. This is Head On.
That's the news. Now here's the forecast. For tonight, showers this evening, and a chance of showers again late tonight with a low near 40. For Tuesday morning, though, partly cloudy and a chance of morning showers, and believe it or not, showers will end on Tuesday. Then the rest of the day will be partly cloudy with a high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're used to hearing television reporters give their signature taglines. In Washington, I'm Karen Ryan reporting. This is Jennifer Morrow reporting. I'm Pat O'Leary reporting. But these days, you can't know if your news presenter is a reporter or a ringer. Karen Ryan, for example, is a veteran of the government's propaganda machine, having posed as a reporter for fake news segments produced and distributed by 7 federal agencies in the last 2 years. Ryan is really a PR consultant who candidly calls herself a paid shill for the Bush administration. Likewise, Jennifer Morrow is a fake. That's not even her real name. She's really an employee of a PR firm hired in 2002 to pose as a reporter presenting a gushing story about the work of Bush's Homeland Security Agency. Her news segment, paid for by us taxpayers and produced by the Bushites, aired all across America with no mention that it was covert propaganda. Pat O'Leary is not a real reporter either. He's one of 2 full-time poseurs hired by Bush's Department of Agriculture to produce videos that are shipped to hundreds of local stations and aired as news. They travel the country, often covering Bush's Secretary of Agriculture, and their reports are unfailingly flattering, free of any critical comments from those who differ with Bush's policies. No surprise, since their reports must be approved by the Ag Department's PR office before being sent to your TV station. This deliberate manipulation of our news is more than outrageous. It's a frontal assault on our democracy, totally disrespectful of the American people.
It's also a dangerous game for those playing it. The Bushites and the station owners are sabotaging their own credibility, which was not strong to start with. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not about technical legalities, but about fundamental morality. Both the government and the media are claiming a right to lie to us.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
He's got a break, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 25 minutes before 9 o'clock. Now, in discussing the cuts that are coming in the Medicaid program, Logan's Walker. Just remember that. Yeah. Logan's Walker. Not Logan's Run. You remember the old movie. Logan's Walker. Now, that's all there in black and white. We're losing $156 million here in West Virginia. And 19% of the people on Medicaid are looking to get cut. Old folks, folks my age, folks younger than me, children will get cut because of George Bush. It's his budget. And Tom DeLay wants to march right along with that budget. I told you, $15 billion to be cut from Medicaid. Now, they had a little ceremony in Charleston today. West Virginians for Life came out to, were on hand, the Lacey-Peterson bill, formerly titled the Unborn Victims of Violence Act, was signed today. And like I said, members of West Virginians for Life were on hand for the pandering, or the signing. They were on hand for the signing, but if I could be so bold, where the hell were they when Department of Health and Human Resources Secretary Martha Walker was telling the Senate Finance Committee that the state was out of options and cuts to the program would be painful? Where were they then? Where were these advocates for life? What a bunch of clowns. What a bunch of hypocritical freaks. What a bunch of human garbage West Virginians for Life is. They can advocate on behalf of a wad of about 20 cells, but they can't, you know, they can't get the pitchforks and the torches out to keep Granny from getting bumped off her Medicaid, or to keep little Johnny from losing his inhalers for his asthma, part of which was brought on because coal keeps the lights on in West Virginia. Oh no. No, they're pro wad of tissue, and they make me almost violently ill. At least 75 bills were introduced this session that were aimed at either criminalizing abortion or further restricting it. Because this is because of West Virginians for Life, who don't give a tinker's damn about living people. I mean, are any of you as revolted by this bunch as I am? don't have time to feed starving babies, don't have time to advocate for appropriate minimal medical care for children. The West Virginians for life damn sure can't show up at a water quality board meeting because of manganese and magnesium and aluminum and mercury that are going into our children's systems every day. No, they can't show up for that either. All they can do is worry about making a little lump of tissue into a separate victim of a crime. Oh, act in haste, repent in leisure. I mentioned it the other night, this, because you understand the Lacey bill does make unborn masses of tissue into entirely separate victims in a crime. And if you're according human being status in that crime, then that unborn child has status for everything else, too. Because it would be a denial of equal protection to merely ghettoize them for purposes of this criminal law. So they're going to have status in car wrecks. And they're going to have status in slip and falls. Yes, sirree. Oh, Joe Manchin, the insurance companies are going to love you. Yes, they are. Because think about it. How can you say that these are only people for purposes of these few criminal acts? If you're a person, you're a person. Just like with corporations. Perfect example. A corporation is a person within the meaning of all of the laws of this state and of this nation. A corporation has free speech rights. A corporation has rights of assembly. A corporation has a right to a trial by jury. A corporation has a right to confront its accuser. A corporation has a right to a speedy trial. Hell, I guess a corporation has a right to keep and arm bears. Or bear arms. And the same thing is going to apply to these separate victims in violent crimes. Because if they're a separate victim for purposes of defining a violent crime, they are separate individuals for purposes of defining free speech, access to health care, jury trials. There it is. The open courthouse provision of the West Virginia Constitution. Boy, I bet the West Virginians for life never saw that one coming, did they? Because, after all, you got to remember, the West Virginians for life have an IQ approaching that of an ice cube temperature. They're not a very smart bunch. They are ruled not by intellect, but rather by emotion. Now, the next little point on their agenda is, of course, the parental notification issue, because West Virginians for life wants to make sure that if daddy has gotten his little baby daughter up the holler pregnant, that she has to tell him if she wants an abortion. If she doesn't want to carry that child of incest. Yeah, it happens. It does happen. Or what about this freak that I told you about at the top of the show? Where is he? What's his name again? Yeah. Scott Heldreth. The kitty rapist. With Operation Rescue. The little girl that he raped. You know, the juvenile, the minor, the child that pro-life Mr. Heldreth raped. If she got pregnant, in the eyes of West Virginians for life, would she be entitled to an abortion? Or would she have to go and tell Mommy and Daddy first? Do you see how sick these control fetish freaks are? Now, we have one of the lowest abortion rates in the country, not because of West Virginians for Life, certainly. But again, 75 bills this session aimed at criminalizing abortion or further making it difficult for poor people to get. Do you understand what monsters these people are? West Virginians for Life. You know, they ally themselves with people like Randall Terry, Operation Rescue. You do know what Randall Terry has advocated in the past, don't you? Of course you do. He advocated murdering nurses, doctors, because they provide health services to women and Randall Terry can't control them. So just remember, you know, there is an interconnectedness to all of this stuff. There absolutely is. When we talk about cutting Medicaid, we have to talk about West Virginians for Life, because you're de facto taking life from someone when you cut Medicaid. Of course you are. Does anybody ever ask? I mean, I've never talked to any of these weird freaks. I generally have no desire to. But has anyone ever asked them where they stand on feeding the poor, on affordable housing for low-income West Virginia families? Has anyone asked them where they stand on mandatory insurance for children? Where they stand on, oh, I don't know, the USDA cutting the budgetary appropriation for the food stamp program? Where does West Virginians for Life stand on that? What's her name? Karen Cross? Ugh. Where are they? Not a peep, huh? You never see them rallying for children. Nope. They rally to keep their own greedy little organization alive, because being anti-abortion or pro-life is a business. Just like the religion industry, it's a business, and it makes a lot of money. And entire segments of the political population will bow and scrape and embarrass themselves in front of these people because they pretend that some deity listens to them more than it does anyone else, which is, of course, hypocrisy, blasphemy, yeah, both of those. So do, please, pay attention and quit thinking with their model when you hear them talking about being pro-life. They're no more pro-life than Adolf Hitler was. Come to think of it, they kind of do dovetail together, the pro-life movement and the Third Reich, because while the Third Reich made it criminal to be a male homosexual and people were killed for it or imprisoned for it, being a female homosexual was perfectly legal, and you were then encouraged to go out and breed for Die Stadt, the state. And those children were immediately basically enrolled into the infant version of the Hitlerjugend, the Hitler Youth. They do go rather hand in hand, don't they? But we can't worry about things that really matter. We have to worry about controlling legislators. You see how cynical this is? Not me, this method, this so-called movement. And everyone from the governor on down, except those with the most extreme levels of personal creeds and personal strength, virtually the entire legislature bows down to these freaks. And I'm about tired of it. And it happens here, and it happens all over the country. Segments. What? Half or more of the Congress bows and scrapes in front of these monsters. These body fascists.
A little something else, a reminder for you. Boy, this is a gear shift of sorts. No, really, it's not. This is a real pro-life movement. While Karen Cross and West Virginians for Life are out running around getting Lacey Peterson bills passed, well, you won't see them on March the 31st down at the Capitol. I'll be there around noon. My friends from Coal River Mountain Watch and I and several other organizations, although, you know, not we'll all be there in our individual capacities for the kickoff of what is being called Mountain Justice Summer. This is a pro-life movement. This is a pro-life issue. And it is a move to encourage protest throughout the mountain range removal coal fields all this coming summer long, with a goal towards stopping mountain range removal, stopping valley fills, stopping more aluminum in the streams, stopping more manganese in the streams, because those impact our ability to have a meaningful life. So, yeah, this is a pro-life movement. Mountain Justice Summer is asking for volunteers to spend part or all of the summer in West Virginia and the surrounding coal states to protest mining operations. Again, this is... violence is done by the coal industry to us every day, day in and day out. 3 million pounds of explosives are used in West Virginia every day to blow up our mountains. Huge boulders fly off of mountain range removal sites and crush 3-year-old boys in their sleep. Billions of gallons of toxic sludge hang over the heads of school children like some sort of obscene sword of Damocles. Big Coal uses violent tactics against the ordinary citizens of West Virginia every single minute of every single day. We will not stoop to their filthy level. We will not be violent. A lot of us read our Bibles and pay attention to the things that Jesus, Yeshua, that Palestinian carpenter from 2,000 years ago, we pay attention to the things he said and did. He is the father of nonviolence. And if we can follow in his footsteps, we can change West Virginia. So, long about noon, at the back side of the Capitol, the stage area, we will kick off Mountain Justice Summer. And we will counter the ads from the fiends of coal. And all we have to do that are facts and truth. So, if you can find time, wander down to Charleston. Noon, Thursday, the 31st. Again, this is a sort of a peace issue too, isn't it? It doesn't have to be bombs falling on brown people to be to qualify as a peace issue. Peace is the opposite of war, and peace is the opposite of violence. This is a means of opposing the violence that is done in West Virginia every blessed day. And just about, you know, because we already know from the poll that was taken, why do you think you hear so many fiends of coal ads? Did you notice a year or so ago when the poll came out that said more than half of West Virginians know about and vehemently oppose mountain range removal? Now you know why Charles Ryan Associates, which, you know, is a PR firm in Charleston and which deliberately set up the Fiends of Coal. It's not a real group. It's what one caller once upon a time referred to as an AstroTurf group. It looks like grassroots, but it doesn't have any. It's made up. It's like West Virginia Citizens for Lawsuit Abuse. It's fake. It's a fraud. The Fiends of Coal are a fraud. And it was put out there because the public opinion was turning against the insatiable greed of big coal in West Virginia.
Hi, I'm Don Malin, and I'm a fiend of coal. Are you a fiend of coal?
These things don't just happen. They happen for a reason. And a little tiny grassroots effort just to talk to people and tell them about what's being done in their state, so thoroughly scared the monsters of the coal industry that they've had to pump millions of dollars into the fiends of coal to try to counter the facts and try to counter truth. So, like I said, if you've got time, about noon on Thursday, come on down. There's going to be music. There's going to be fun. There's going to be fellowship. Going to be decent people, not fiends of coal. And all we're going to do is just talk about trying to save the future for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and for West Virginians yet unborn and undreamt of. Come on out. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. It's time for our top of the hour news break. Your phone calls at 252-6200 when we get back, 800-620-9967. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on.
Hi, Dad. I'm home. Sorry about the car.
Oh, it's okay. It doesn't look as bad as it sounded on the phone.
Dad, what's wrong with your voice?
Well, since you called, I've spent the last 20 minutes in the bathroom yelling to get it out of my system.
Patience. Use it before you lose it. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
You two are real actors, huh?
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care.
According to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Okay, I guess.
Cool. Is that the best you can do?
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. Depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR.
A man who just loves...
All rise, this honorable court is now in session.
Please be seated. The defendant shall remain standing. The defendant is before this court today for sentencing, having been previously found guilty of a gun crime by a jury of his peers. Given the severity of this crime, it is the order of this court that the defendant be sentenced to a term of 5 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
WWNR, Beckley.
They lived happily ever after.
Another story.
Tiana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
When you're really there, they'll know how much you care.
See, Fleet, that was such a good story.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
For the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, Michael McKean and David Lander.
David, did you know that the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is the world leader in MS research services and professional education?
Yep, they've been helping me for over 20 years, and we can help them by visiting their website or calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
You know everything.
I get around.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
5 minutes after 9 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley, and we are back. I'm Bob. Now, we talked about Medicaid here in West Virginia and the cuts that we're facing because George Bush hasn't waged enough war yet. Traumatic brain injury traumatic brain injury. Think about that one a little bit, because we're going to get to that, and it'll make you sick. What's happening there? Because there's a Traumatic Brain Injury Act that was passed by Congress. And, well, we'll save it. Let's go back to the phones. I hate to keep people waiting. Gary's with us. Hey, Gary, you're head on. Gary.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
What's going on?
Oh, just kind of taking in everything you're saying tonight. Agree with some, but not all.
Well, you know, this isn't the Hallelujah Chorus.
Oh, I know that. Regarding the coal companies, extraction industries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's all just going to be one sort of big Malthusian conclusion, you know?
I'm sure it is.
We're going to outstrip our resource base, and all of a sudden we're going to wake up and say, why are all these people dying?
Yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah, you know, I think that what's eventually going to happen is the West is going to end up like the Third World.
How so?
Well, basically that's the big problem in the Third World, is in most parts of it, they have outstripped the resource base. Like, I'm sure you've heard of the stories over in Nigeria and places like that. They have to walk 5 miles for firewood and all these sorts of things. And that really is a major component of the problem in the Third World. And eventually, I think that's where we're going to end up at.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's part and parcel of the reason that England became one of the first countries ever to begin using coal in high capacity. Because of the fact that, you know, their timber resources were gone.
Oh, yeah.
And that fueled the Industrial Revolution and you know, the rest we know.
You know how famous English oak is?
Oh, yeah.
Except it was gone 500 years ago.
Exactly. I saw something today, Gary, that you might find interesting. If you go to commondreams.org.
Commondreams.org?
Common Dreams.
Oh, Common Dreams.
Yeah, .org. This is from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. I thought about you when I read it. Headline, Peak Oil Puts Us in a Different Reality, by Marvin Gregory. Apparently, a fellow who's a highly respected investment banker and advisor to the Bush administration gave an interview to Al Jazeera, of all people, on February 22nd. The fellow's name is Matthew Simmons, and he says, we may have passed peak oil.
Well, there's some debate about if it's now or if it's 2 or 3 years from now, but, you know, the thing about it is it's here, or it's going to be here real quick. And, you know, you have to look at the Chinese equation, see.
Yeah.
Demand is just really, really going up. At the same time, you know, the supply will be going down, and it's going to be a really sort of an exponential type thing. I mean, quite honestly, I'm surprised we haven't really seen some economic shocks yet.
Well, one of the things that Mr. Simmons apparently points out is that if we are past peak oil, that the cost of oil will quickly go to over $100 a barrel. And it'll go to $100 a barrel and more, and that will cripple us because we use a quarter of the world's supply.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to have serious ramifications for the Western world. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, though, Bob, this might sound cruel, but... Yeah, there's got to be a die-off somewhere or another. People will not voluntarily control their population or their appetites.
No.
So what happens is they will kill themselves out.
Well, that's one of those breakpoints where I have a real hard time with some of the policies of the church. Encourage, you know, because of the stance on contraception, encouraging the overpopulation of primarily third world areas that can't support it. And yeah, it's a recipe for plague and famine and disaster and all the stuff that, you know, Jesus didn't much like.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've often wondered about that myself. But, you know, if you get right down to it, contraception, I mean, it's something people could practice with or without the church's approval. I mean, I won't get into all the gory details.
Well, no, there are some places where, I mean, well, first of all, there are some places where it cannot be delivered. We'd like to,
well,
but it can't be.
There's natural ways to practice contraception.
Some of them, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, never mind the details.
Yeah,
obviously.
Never mind the details. Or as you told me once, way too much information.
Yeah, exactly. No information overload, please.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's interesting to see how this all proves out. You know, I'm kind of a devotee of the idea of permaculture.
Mm-hmm.
And humanity will have to go to that idea if they want to have a sustainable society over the long run.
Well, it's either that or the Mad Max world, isn't it?
Well, yes. It is.
And the thing is, I don't know that it'll happen in our lifetimes, but it's not that far down the road.
Well, you know, I keep talking about how they've destroyed our underground water supplies here in West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and the ramifications for that. If anything, I'm beginning to think I may have underestimated what that will mean to people in West Virginia in the future. And Bob, you know, you got to realize, you and I, we're both in our 40s,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to be around all that much longer.
Hey, don't hurry. Don't rush me.
Well, I'm not trying to hurry, but even under the best case scenario, even if you live to be 100 years old, you're still not going to be around that much longer. But we overall a span of time, you know, what's this going to be out there for the people in 100, 200, 300 years?
Right.
And that's what we've got to think about. But more or less, we're, I guess, pretty short-sighted, and we just want what we can get today and heck with the people tomorrow.
Well, this fellow writes, one might say we have a difficult time ahead of us, but in my view, this understates the case. We will have a monstrously difficult time ahead of us. We're terribly in debt, and a crippled economy will only make this problem much harder to manage.
Well, it's like a convergence of crises, as we've talked about before.
Yeah.
I think a whole bunch of things are going to come together at one time. This peak oil thing, I think, is going to be the thing that breaks the camel's back.
Well, but by the same token, anybody who reads about peak oil from the fiends of coal side of the discussion, Gary, will say, well, you know, that just proves the further necessity for clean coal technology.
Well, that's crap, you know.
Yeah, which there ain't any of.
Did you see that article in the Register Herald? I think it was on Sunday. A lady wrote in and she was talking about that.
Yes.
I forget her name. She's with some type of organization. You probably know her.
I don't recall the name, but I did read the article.
Yeah.
What a fraud clean coal is.
Yeah, well, I'm not per se against coal. I mean, if you put a sack of coal out my back door, I'm going to burn it in the stove, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm just against what it does to the environment. I've been offered a couple jobs recently in the timber industry and in the coal industry, and I turn them down.
Yeah, sure.
And the reason I turn them down is because I tell people that you don't have to do that. And these people that whine and cry, if I don't want to go out and destroy West Virginia, I won't be able to eat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I mean, it's crap. I mean, how many days have you put in a coal mine, Bob?
Never a one.
Well, I don't expect you ever will.
Probably not.
You don't have to. I mean,
well, that's the way that my parents set it up for me. There was a specific goal there. You know, we don't want you to ever have to do this. My dad did it, and he definitely didn't want me to ever have to do it.
Well, your family, like mine, you moved out of state.
Well, yeah.
And I don't know exactly the reasons. I will assume they probably were economic.
Of course. Go where the work is.
Yeah, well, that's the way with my family. And to be honest with you, I would rather leave West Virginia than destroy it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but the problem there is, you know, it's one of those exponential things. You leave West Virginia to avoid destroying it, Gary, and there will be four people coming in here because, you know, they want to destroy it because there's good money in destroying it.
Well, you know, I hear, maybe you know more about this than I would do, but I hear that most of these guys at Massey's Mines are out-of-staters.
Yeah, they are.
You know?
Oh, yeah, you can go to any one of their mountain range removal jobs and, you know, one thing is for sure, they don't live around where they're doing their dirty work.
Yeah.
You'll see Pennsylvania tags, you'll see Virginia tags, Tennessee, Kentucky tags, and any West Virginia tags you see, if you were to trace them down, you'll find out they're from an hour, 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't where you eat.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, this is really, I've been thinking about this lately. We're constituted as a republic with laws and rules and regulations and all that.
Right.
But really, what do we have here? We don't have anything. The corporations own it all. I mean, we're just vassals.
Sure. And it all turns, as I said, I can't remember the name of the case, but it was a 19th century Supreme Court case, and it declared that corporations are people too, literally. And that is where the steady, slow slide into into this corporatist hell we live in now began.
Well, maybe we just need to totally outlaw corporations in an ideal world. And, you know, the one of the ideas behind a corporation is the idea of limited liability,
mm-hmm.
which is something I don't believe in.
Well, you know, the idea with a partnership, both partners are jointly and severally liable for the acts of the partnership.
Yeah, but you know, with a corporation, you're only limited to the assets of the corporation.
Right.
I mean, so in other words, I mean, you could do a tremendous amount of damage to the world and have, you know, $200 in assets and get by with it.
Well, sure. And then you bankrupt on that, and boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember, in crafting this god-awful bankruptcy bill the Senate rammed down our throats, they didn't do a whole lot about corporate bankruptcies. It was mainly just the poor people out there who are struggling with medical bills that got the wood put to them.
Well, you know, I tell you what, this year in West Virginia, it has been nothing but one fraud after another coming out of the legislature. It's just like, I think it was yesterday, they were talking about building this information superhighway.
Right.
And really, what I read in that is this guy wants to use state funds to go out and put in all his internet infrastructure and then probably let private business come in and take it over.
Oh,
isn't that what it's all about?
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I mean, you know, why do we have to use, the way he's talking, we want to use state funds to go out and put in this broadband all over the state. I don't think that's necessary at all. I mean, anybody in the state right now can access the internet. But
broadband is severely limited, and your ability to do much with the internet is predicated, you know, especially with every passing day, is predicated on a high-speed connection.
Well, can't private businesses take care of that?
You would think, and as was told to me, very few people recognize, you know, the I'm told the internet has 9 so-called backbones or spines.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there's more now. I don't know. One of them is in Morgantown.
Oh, really?
And yet we have a broadband capacity problem in this state. We're severely limited, and there it sits in Morgantown.
Well, you know, I think we ought to fix that problem, but at the same time, you know, the state will come in, they'll spend the money to set it up, and then, you know, Verizon or somebody will come in and they'll reap all the benefits.
That's the model we used with water service, isn't it?
Well, I'm...
Our tax dollars paid to lay all these water lines all over creation. We set up these little kind of mom-and-pop public service districts, and the next thing you know, here comes West Virginia American Water Company, and boom, you've got a West Virginia American Water Company bill now.
Yeah, isn't it a foreign-owned firm?
Yeah, it's a British firm that's held by a German corporation with one of the single most awful environmental records on the face of planet Earth.
Bob, now what's wrong with this picture?
What? No, let's go. We don't have all night, Gary. Let's go for the short list. What's right about it? Nothing!
I mean, in West Virginia, we're paying the Germans for water.
Yeah, for our water.
In a place where, I mean, this isn't the deserts of California.
No. This is one of the most well-watered little pieces of paradise on the East Coast.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. This whole scenario has run so amok. The corporations, I've told you before, one day I bet West Virginians go cold in their homes while we export our fossil fuel resources.
Well, sure.
And our industries here won't be able to afford to run because, I mean, you know, the escalating cost of energy. West Virginia, really, if you look at our resource base, we are a powerhouse.
Yeah. Well, that's why there was a move afoot to try to get some sort of a handle on our water supply.
Well, we need, in a way, to sort of more or less nationalize all this on a state level. I mean, I know it'll never happen, but, I mean, we're not operating like a regular political entity you could expect them to operate like.
No.
I mean, it's all for the corporations. We're here. I don't know why we're even here. I guess to go vote for the people that are going to ruin us, I guess. I mean, I don't see the point. I mean, if we're not in control of our own resources, then why do we even exist as an entity?
Hey, Gary, repeat after me.
Yeah, okay.
Bah.
Bah.
Bah. We're sheep. We're the sheeple. You know, it's our job to stand around and grow and grow the fleece and be shorn from time to time until it's time to lead us off to the slaughter. That's our job as West Virginia.
Well, I mean, it really seems that way. And, you know, historically, if you look at where we came from, where we come from Europe, and that's why we always were over there. But I thought this was supposed to be a whole new deal.
Well, it was, and it was a brilliant idea until it got perverted.
Yeah, and I mean, it has really severely gotten perverted.
I tell you, I want you to do something. It might be a little bit pricey. But it will be well worth your effort. I saw a film this past week called Kilowatt Hours, O-U-R-S.
Okay, Kilowatt Hours.
Kilowatt Hours. If you go to Kilowatt Hours, and it's KILOWATTOURS.org,
uh-huh.
You can order a copy of it. You want to own one of these, okay? You really do, Gary.
And what is it about?
It's about electricity. and the electricity Jones that West Virginia and the Appalachians are feeding in all of the southeastern United States. And when and the things that it shows in terms of how to save electricity are just amazing. We're getting ready to build this education mall out here, and it's going to be a beautiful facility. The first thing that ought to happen, the thing ought to be heated and cooled with geothermal.
Oh, exactly. Didn't I send you some stuff about that here a while back?
Yeah, you did.
About that guy in North Carolina back in the mid-60s built a house where more or less all he did was suck heat in from his basement, and he did some other things too, but it was a very simple idea.
Coal River Mountain Watch has been going around showing this film. Next time they're showing it, I'll make sure that you hear about it. But it's worth owning.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you the truth. The truth is we're energy hogs in America. We can cut our energy uses dramatically, but they haven't built that way in the past because energy was cheap. They didn't insulate houses. I mean, it's just, you know, hey, why bother when your heat bill's $20 a month?
One of the most fascinating things, Habitat for Humanity is in partnership with the Tennessee Valley Authority down south, and they are building zero-usage homes.
Zero usage.
Yeah. They wind up having a net gain in electricity that goes back onto the grid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's realistic. I really do. But, you know, right now we're just not thinking in that direction. And I don't know, when gas gets about $8 a gallon, maybe people start saying, golly, I got to do something. I had a $3,000 heating bill last month, you know?
Yeah.
But right now is the time to ask, to act, to avert disaster in the future. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, you know, it's not unless we keep making noise about it. Gary, I got to roll on, brother. But go look at the site, would you?
Kilowatthours.org.
Right, and that's O-U-R-S, not H-O-U-R-S.
O-U-R-S. Okay.
All right.
Okay,
later.
Thank you.
Bo. Hey, Bo, you're head on. Bo.
Hello, Bob.
What's going on?
Oh, I was listening to your show, and I heard you mention Mountain Justice Summer. I thought I'd give you a call.
Appreciate it.
I just caught the tail end of it, so I don't know what all you'd
well, just trying to talk a little bit about it and let people know what it is and about the kickoff. I saw the Ken Ward article in the paper today, and I really didn't like the tone of it.
No, I didn't either. I like Ken. He's written some great stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't like the tone of it, and I think it shed a light on Mountain Justice Summer that's not really true.
Well, it made it sound like they were a bunch of wild-eyed radicals who were going to come in and, I don't know what, the scalp Don Blankenship?
Well, you know, I've been meeting with all these folks, and they're nothing like that.
No.
Absolutely nothing like that. These are patriots. Patriotic Americans who care about our country and who care about the future of our country. And my hat's off to them. I'm very proud to know them.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy and pleased that they're going to help us, and you know they're helping themselves at the same time, and they realize that.
Sure.
But I don't want to like to dwell on the negative too much. I just want to move forward and.
Well, what can we look forward to Thursday?
Well, I think we're going to have a hoot. That's what I think. Maybe I can ask you on air. We are going to have part of the program will be a Miss Mountaintop Removal Beauty Pageant.
Oh God.
And I'm hoping you could help us with that, maybe narrate that.
Oh, sure.
And introduce the ladies as they prance about.
how could I pass on that, Bo?
It should be a great time. Jack Spadaro will be one of our guest speakers. He'll be our main speaker. And we've got speakers coming from various states, Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio. And, of course, West Virginia. And it should be a great time. We have four different musicians, including Elaine Perkey.
Oh, my.
And it should just be a great time.
About how long is it going to last?
Well, we're starting at noon. We're going to kick off at noon. But, of course, our kickoff time is noon to 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched the weather a little while ago. They're calling for a beautiful day. Going for maybe a shower later in the day, so we're talking 70 degrees, a nice day, and it's also Nurses Day, so at the Capitol, so there should be a lot of nice-looking young ladies running around there for all the bachelors that might want to attend.
Exactly, not the married talk show host.
But But it should be a really great time, and you know, hopefully we'll get a good turnout, and hopefully we can educate and inform others, and we're hoping you know, that we people will see us as messengers of the truth, not the propaganda machine that they're so used to seeing on TV.
Right.
So it's an opportunity for us to educate and inform others, and get others to understand more about Mount Justice Summer and the movement and the necessity to do something before it's too late.
Now, this is outdoors, right?
It's all outdoors.
Okay.
We're on the back of the Capitol, which is the north side of the Capitol. There is the stage, and mm-hmm. we have the stage area.
Have you looked into any parking issues or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. The parking is probably going to be kind of pretty tight. There is parking that lately filled over there, but being that it is Nurses Day and the legislators are in session, parking will be tight. So what we're putting out on some of our correspondence is that a good way to do this would be to, if carpool, and drop your passengers off at Greenbrier in Washington. That's right, you know, if you yeah. 77 take Greenbrier to the Capitol, drop the passengers off there, then the driver can continue to Kanoa Boulevard and hang a left. And it's about a mile, go down to the Moose Club parking lot. They've given us permission to use their parking lot, and we'll have people there that will shuttle the drivers back.
Excellent.
And do the same thing at the end.
Good deal.
So the logistics for that are pretty well worked out. And we have a great sound system coming in, and should be a really nice day.
Excellent. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it. You know me. I won't miss it.
We're grateful for your help and for your input.
Well, drop me an email. Let me know more about this Mountaintop Removal Beauty Contest. I got to do.
Yeah, what they're doing, they are going to send the girls that's participating. I'm waiting for them to send me a description of each of their address and, you know, who they are. You know, Miss Mountaintop Removal, Miss Sludge Dam, whatever it might be.
Okay, beautiful.
And as soon as I get that, I'll get it to you. And you can, you know, practice up a little bit on.
I'll try to. That sounds like a scream, Bo. I can't wait. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on Thursday, and with any luck, maybe we can get a few people from around here to come down and increase the crowd. I mean, of course, it's not just Coal River Mountain Watch folks, is it?
Oh no, these folks are from everywhere. We've got individuals and other groups coming in. A group from Virginia Mountain Justice, they will be in. And, of course, we get folks coming over from Kentucky and up in Pennsylvania. A new group has come on, and I'm not sure exactly what they call themselves, but they have a couple of people that are really sharp. And we're supposed to have a lady from Pennsylvania that's very active there that will speak. And it should be a great time. And, you know, Judy Bonds will speak also. And
mm-hmm.
Be a lot of experienced activists there.
Wonderful. Well, Bo, we got to roll, but I thank you for the information, and I look forward to being there.
Okay. Thanks so much, Bob.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Time for our bottom of the hour break, but there it is. Noon to 3, Thursday the 31st. How many different issues are tied into this one? If you care about the sustainability of the planet, be there. If you care about the health of your kids and your grandkids, be there. If you're really pro-life as opposed to the hypocrites, be there. Noon to 3, Thursday the 31st. To me, it sounds like it's going to be a blast, and I can't wait. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. It's time for that bottom of the hour break. Funny how they roll around. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The Office of Emergency Services is warning West Virginians to be on the lookout for landslides because of so much rain. The agency says wet spring weather promotes slippage, and residents should be aware of the warning signs. OES Director Steve Kappa says West Virginia is particularly susceptible to landslides because of the terrain. He says residents should be aware of the land around them and listen for any unusual sounds. And he's also cautioned motorists to be careful when driving automobiles near embankments. A major landslide on West Virginia 2 in Marshall County is being blamed for a two-car accident last week that has killed one person. State Division of Highways officials say it will be until Friday before that stretch of highway is reopened. Preliminary work is being done on a site proposed for a shopping center on Route 19 in Fayetteville. Paramount Land Development Corporation is seeking approval for a zoning change that would allow it to build a shopping mall featuring a Walmart, Lowe's, and 13 other stores within Fayetteville town limits. Its first application was overturned by Raleigh County Circuit Judge Robert Burnside. The corporation reapplied, and the Fayetteville Planning Commission ruled its application complete on February 28th. A West Virginia soldier is the latest casualty in the war in Iraq. The Department of Defense reported today that Corporal Brian Richardson of Summersville was killed in hostile action. He was 23. It happened on Friday of last week near an Iraqi province. Richardson served with a Moundsville-based unit. He was assigned to Marine Forces Reserve's 3rd Battalion, 25th Marine Regiment, 4th Marine Division from Moundsville. For this evening, partly cloudy, showers and possible thunderstorms, low near 40 degrees. And then for tomorrow, showers lingering in the morning, believe it or not, partly cloudy the rest of the day with a high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Right now, through March 31st, you pick the town. You pick the payment at Ramey Chrysler Dodge. Just announced factory incentives mean you can drive a new Dodge truck for as low as $299 down. $299 a month. Buy new Dodge cars from $199 down. $199 a month. With factory incentives, you can drive a new Dodge truck for as low as $299 down. $299 a month. Buy new Dodge cars from $199 down. Just $199 a month. Listen to this. From March 31st. Ramey Chrysler Dodge will match your down payment with a discount up to $1,000 on used cars and trucks. You pick your down. You pick your payment on new. We'll match your down up to $1,000 on used cars and trucks through March 31st. And Ramey Chrysler Dodge Chief in Tazewell or Ramey Chrysler Dodge in Princeton or online at RameyCars.com. Do the deal.
Includes all factory incentives and rebates. Snip stolen fees. Actually, with a full credit. They'll fight the code of payments based on $299 down 4.99% APR for 72 months. They'll fight neon payments based on $199 down 4.99% APR for 72 months.
Who are the toughest men and women in the area?
West Virginia Sports Promotions presents
the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest. As seen on national TV.
Sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming this Friday and Saturday through Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. See up to 100 area men and women suck it out with thousands in prize money and tough man jackets. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. Good seats still available. Starting at just $12 for general admission. Reserved in VIP ringside seats also available. Get your tickets today at the Raleigh County Armory or any Ticketmaster outlet, including Kroger. Charge by phone at 304-342-5757. For additional information or to sign up, call 1-800-296-3897.
That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 25th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on national TV. Coming this Friday and Saturday nights in Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
Pop it out.
WWNR Beckley.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's pet tip. You know, just the other day I had the opportunity of working with some senior citizens in a home where they allow the seniors to have pets. There were rabbits, there were birds, there was a cat, and even a couple of dogs running around as if they were the nursing home residents' pets. And you know what? Every one of them had a smile on their face. And I was sitting down and talking to them, and they were explaining to me when they first thought about a nursing home and living without a pet, how devastating that would be to them. But watching the smiles on their faces, they stroked the dog, watched a fish tank, or had a parakeet on their finger, really made me think that every senior citizen that wants to have a pet should be allowed to have one. I think more and more nursing homes are becoming aware of the fact that pets make us feel better, they lower our blood pressure, they alleviate stress, and you know what? They bring a smile to our face. So if you're a senior looking for a senior-assisted housing, make sure they either have pets or allow you to bring your own. I'm Warren Eckstein.
If you're like most people, you're sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood. If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes are a bit tighter. This is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the Cortisone lifestyle. You know Cortislim people. You run into those Cortislim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going new clothes shopping after work. Well, Cortislim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues is related to stress and hormones. Cortislim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. Join me. Step off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase two bottles of Cortislim. $20 off two bottles. That's huge. Call 1-800-LEAN-313.
This is Deborah Ray with today's Nutrition Notebook. Feeling blue? 10% of all American women and 4% of all American men take antidepressant medication. While therapy may have focused on what your parents did or didn't do, new research focuses on what you had for dinner last night and the nights previous to that. There's growing evidence that fatty fish like salmon, sardines, and tuna contain omega-3 fatty acids, which can help prevent and treat depression. University researchers found that omega-3 fats plus a substance called uridine in protein-rich foods eliminated depression to the same extent as antidepressant medication. Some physicians believe that depression may, in part, be an inflammatory problem, which can be diminished by omega-3 fats. Omega-3s also boost the levels of serotonin, which improve mood. And it is well known that major depression is 60 times more common in countries where little fish is eaten. Well, that's today's Nutrition Notebook. For more nutrition news, log on to HealthyTalkRadio.com.
Do you reach for a pill when you suffer pain? Next time, try the O24 Essential Oil Pain Neutralizer. Just rub O24 on your aches and pains and feel the magic. O24 works in minutes and brings pain relief for hours. A soothing blend of essential oils with no added chemicals, the U.S. patented O24 uses nature's finest and doesn't interfere with your prescription medicine. If you suffer from chronic pains like arthritis or backaches, go to your local Rite Aid pharmacy today and get O24. Order direct 877-794-7633.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. Again, a reminder, well, two things to remind you of tonight. The kickoff for Mountain Justice Summer on Thursday, the 31st. At noon at the backstage of the Capitol. And secondly, the website, peacenotpoverty.org. You can sign up for the People of Conscience write-in. You have to register by noon tomorrow. And then the write-in is actually on the 30th, which is Wednesday. Now, among other things that identifies a certain segment of the population, Too witless. Get it? It's a joke. Too witless. The ignorant, hardline right wing is a diehard, just absolute sellout support for Israel. Okay, and they do it on a religious basis. Because that's how they're going to help the apocalypse to come. Now, I'm sure the right wing will never hear about this, but you would certainly like to know how they felt about it. Because, I mean, this is some family values stuff. Dateline, Friday, 25 March. Thousands of foreign women have been smuggled into Israel and sold into prostitution, earning the criminal underworld millions of dollars a year. Who says this? Is it some sort of liberal? No. This is an investigation headed by members of the Knesset, the Israeli parliament. Over the last 4 years, between 3,000 and 5,000 women have been sold as sex slaves. Sex slaves for $8,000 to $10,000 a piece, and they're forced to work for up to 18 hours a day, according to Zahava Galon, who is a member of the Israeli parliament. The women receive on average $4 out of every $120 that clients pay their pimps for their services. All right? And Mr. Gallon said, we began this inquiry to investigate the extent of this phenomenon and raise political awareness of their plight and the brutal nature of the trafficking of women in this time of globalization. People must understand that sexual slavery is going on under our noses and it must be obliterated. Oh, I'm sorry, not he, she. Zahava Gallon is a she. I'm sorry, my Hebrew's not so good. What do you mean not so good? It's non-existent. What am I talking about? But it must be obliterated, she said, praising tough laws against people trafficking and prostitution already in place. Amnesty International and the U.S. State Department have also reported an alarming increase in prostitution rackets in Israel. Now, how does this jibe with the revolutionaries? How does this jibe with the righteous nation that they think God is perpetually blessing? You'll never hear about it. You will never hear about it. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's happening?
Well, I was reading. Did you see the story today in the Miami Herald about how there was pretty close to a showdown between different law enforcement?
Oh, yeah, where Jeb was sending in the troops?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was sending it, well, they call it the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which translates to state police.
Yeah, the Florida State Police, sure.
Right. And were sending them to take Terri Schiavo out of the hospice and take her to a place to have her feeding tube.
Reinserted.
And says when the sheriff department and our department told them they could not enforce their order, they backed off. But it's a pretty amazing story. There was a three-hour window there that they didn't realize.
Yeah.
I guess that they, when they appealed, it effectively froze this judge's order. And it took him 3 hours to find out about it, and then he changed it. I mean, these people are ruthless.
They were literally willing to go head-to-head against the Pinellas Park City Police and the county sheriffs there.
Yes. Send in the troops.
Well, no kidding. I mean, what's next, the National Guard?
Well, there was... it says in jest, one officer said local police discussed whether they had enough officers to hold off the National Guard. These people are amazing.
I mean, have these guys finally managed to put the ultimate bullet in their foot? I mean, have they finally done it, Wayne?
I certainly hope so. I mean, this whole thing. You know what's amazing? I mean, all the uproar over this, it's a sad case. It's a very sad case.
God, it's the definition of heartbreak.
Yes, it is. But it's a personal case. It's a family issue. You know, where's all the outrage over 1,500 of our kids killed in Iraq?
Right.
Where's the outrage there? I don't understand this. It just exposes them for the phonies that they are.
Well, what does it say about these people outside this hospice in Pinellas Park, Wayne? When one of the groups that's protesting this Operation Rescue and Randall Terry, when one of his chief lieutenants is a convicted child rapist.
Well, it doesn't say much for your supporters, does it?
It says everything in the world about the people that are behind this.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, you said it right earlier. It's a business.
Yeah.
That's what this is. It's a business.
I mean, do you think Randall Terry has trouble making his mortgage payment every month and his power bill and he's been buying gasoline?
I'm sure he doesn't.
No, hell no, he doesn't.
I'm sure he doesn't.
And there are people out there who do have those problems that are digging deep in their pockets and sending that creep what they've got.
Yes, there are. It's a sad, sad state of affairs. I hope it exposes. Well, they didn't have to expose themselves to, people like you and I, but I certainly hope other people are taking, and, well, they are. I think, like I told you before, I mean, these people, this is really record time that they're self-destructing. And then, you know, to hear all the story about, delay and, you know, his dad and then the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And hypocrite.
Well, yeah, what else, what other word are you going to use? I mean, I wish there was something stronger.
I do, too. You know, I do, too. Well, there are, but I can't.
But
use
we
them.
Can't say them on Radio Free Beckley.
But hypocrite would be in there. It'd just be a little bit.
Yeah, there'd be.
Maybe
we
could make a sentence.
Yeah, a little razzle, stag, blag, and black.
Right,
rat-a-grat-a-nats.
Rat, 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 rat,
exactly. Oh, man who knows his Yosemite Sam. You've got my admiration.
Oh, that was Yosemite.
Yeah, it was.
I always wondered where I got that thing. See that? How informative this show is.
Oh.
That was Yosemite.
Sure it was. Oh, and, you know, but for anybody, Wayne, who thinks that this is going to end when this poor woman rounds her little life with a sleep, no, they're already fighting over the funeral.
Oh, yeah, I know. Cremation or a regular funeral or, you know.
Yeah.
Well.
And he's already said he's going to have her autopsied.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can't say that I wouldn't if I was in his position, because these guys have been out there screaming that he's a murderer.
Well, exactly. And, well, even now, I mean, I don't know that it matters. You know, facts don't bother these people.
No, they just make it up as they go
exactly.
along.
Exactly. So, you know, you could do anything you want and have all the facts you want and all that. They'll dispute it and make up their own story. You know, that's what they've always done, so... I don't know. I feel very sorry for them, and, you know, I'll be glad when the whole thing's over for all of them.
Well, for all of America.
Yes, exactly.
Because, you know, we've got some stuff that actually deserves being paid attention to going on in this country, but we're not. I mean.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was some article today, who's watching Congress or.
Yeah.
Who's doing Congress?
Who's minding Congress, exactly.
Right, right.
It's just. I found a little list of it. I've got it right in front of me. All the things, yeah, here it is. All the things we've missed while we've been having 24-hour a day wall-to-wall Terry Schiavo coverage. Recently released FBI memo confirmed Michael Moore's claim in his documentary that the Bush administration arranged for Saudi citizens to leave the country. Remember how everybody screamed that was a big old lie?
Right.
It was truth. Don Rumsfeld claimed the purchase of a mere 100,000 AK-47s by the Venezuelan government could jeopardize the stability of the region.
Yes.
Four days it took George Bush to mention the Red Lake, Minnesota school shootings.
But what's more important?
Terry Schiavo.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
that's what it's all about, too, is just a smokescreen to keep you from knowing what the hell they're really doing.
I mean, imagine this guy, and the more I think about it, the more outraged I become, Wayne. Think about it. This guy, George W. Bombababy, couldn't get his plane fueled and ready to leave Crawford, Texas on vacation when he received on August the 6th a presidential daily briefing entitled "Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S." That couldn't light a fire under him to get him back to Washington.
Right.
Terry Schiavo, different story.
Exactly, because of political gain.
Right.
Or what they think is going to be political gain. Now, have you heard anything about supposedly this? I heard that bow tie guy say on one of the shows yesterday that supposedly the document was for, there was a memo floating around saying what a great opportunity this was for Republicans.
Yeah, and now they're
saying that was forged.
Right.
Have you heard any more about that?
Nothing except his naked allegation.
Okay.
And I guess the next thing we're going to hear is those sound clips that I played of Tom DeLay.
Uh-huh.
Was like the...
That's talking in his sleep or something.
Well, it was Tom DeLay pod person.
Right.
You know, it was some evil Democratic clone of Tom DeLay standing there in front of all those miserable mouth breathers saying that, you know, God tormented Terry Schiavo so the Republicans could make a little hay.
Right, exactly. And the story about the memo got far more coverage than Gannon or Gucka, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
The White House man-ho.
Yeah, right.
God. Is this really America, Wayne?
I don't know, Bob.
I mean, did a wormhole open up and send us into just, you know, screwy universe? And I mean, is this some sort of Star Trek thing where, you know?
Like the bad Mr.
Yeah, the bad Captain Kirk and the good Captain Kirk.
Right. Yeah, it may very well be. Only I'm stuck somewhere.
Right. I mean, we're the normal guys in the weird universe.
Right. I didn't get through that wormhole, right, or something. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Jeez. I mean, it's so sad, but I feel bad laughing about it sometimes.
You gotta.
Well, you'd have to, or you'd do that bucket of lie thing, and
yeah,
that's not appealing at all.
I just copied and pasted this out of one of the Shivo news stories, Wayne. Check this out. See if you hear this the way I read this. This is the federal courthouse in Atlanta where they were having one of their appeals. A perimeter around the federal courthouse was evacuated during the hearing after a suspicious backpack was found outside. The hearing was not interrupted, and the package was safely detonated using a remote device.
Okay.
Now, did you see that all over the news?
No, I didn't. Did you?
No. What the hell does it mean?
I don't know.
Was the backpack full of explosives?
How do you detonate it if it wasn't?
I mean, was it full of ham sandwiches, or maybe you know, to kill
it? They must have sent a missile at it.
Yeah. I mean, with that kind of reporting, you don't know, Wayne. I mean, you only know it was remotely detonated. Somebody may have remotely detonated a backpack full of Bibles, for all we know.
Was it remotely detonated with a brand-new 50 caliber?
Yeah, I don't... You know, this stuff just makes me crazy. I mean, somebody left a backpack trying to blow up a... And these are the pro-life people?
Right. Exactly. The pro-life people.
Oh, God. Crazy world.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And the sooner we have our little intervention and we get off our little bender, the better off we'll be.
I agree with you.
I've come to the conclusion that the intervention is going to take the form of impeaching George Bush's sorry rear end when we take the House and the Senate back in 06.
I was going to say the 2006 elections can't happen quick enough, as far as I'm concerned, you know, because, well, I think a lot of people are... It's like them puppies, Bob. They're getting their eyes open.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're turning into Democrat puppies now.
That's exactly right.
Ugh.
I don't know. We'll have to see what tomorrow brings. And that's enough. Doesn't anybody ever question that, too, about the... I mean, all these photos that you see of Terry, that, you know, are, at least a couple years.
Oh, yeah. But now her dad's in there saying that she's trying to communicate. She's not giving up, so don't you give... What? I mean, she can't communicate.
That's sad.
They tried on Friday to say that she made noises...
That she wanted to live.
Yeah, you know what they translated as, I want to live?
Yeah, I saw that in the paper.
This is just pitiful manipulation, and I'm praying, Wayne... I'm praying that America is looking up and going, you know, it's time to rein these freaks in.
Yes. Yes.
Because they're going to come screw with you next. You know, America is not safe from these people.
No, you're not.
It's your family. Today it's the right to die. Tomorrow it's, you know, whether it's ham or hamburger for dinner, you know, and we got to have a congressional hearing.
Well, and you know, how many people's lives are we going to... I mean, you know, anybody with any that needs any kind of help or has any kind of disability ought to just simply go to Washington and tell them, you know, okay, help me today.
Yeah, when we cut this $156 million out of our Medicaid budget, are we going to have individual bills come out of Congress for the relief of Granny or Grandpa or little Johnny's asthma?
Right. I guess, you know...
Yeah, I mean, that's what the culture of life would do, wouldn't it?
Exactly. I mean, you know, what's good for one's good for the rest, ain't it? You know, I mean, is, you know, why isn't my granny as important as Terry?
Right. You know, and why don't, you know, no, we're not going to do that. Of course not, you know, because we got too many things to worry about. The employer's reference immunity bill has passed the House, and it's pending in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
And what does that bill say?
Remember, that's the blacklist bill.
Oh, okay.
I got a little wish list here of these corporatists corporatist bills and what their standing is. Third party bad faith headed to the House Judiciary, joint and several liability headed to the House Judiciary, deliberate intent, you know, Mandelitis.
Yes.
Pending passage in the state Senate. That right to cure that I talked about, where you have to be nice to the poor little corporations and give them 20 days.
Right.
That's passed the House, or that's passed the Senate, and it's headed to the House Judiciary. It goes on. And that's what matters.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Could we have an hour, maybe just an hour of hearings in the House and the Senate on the missing $156 million for Medicaid? You know, maybe just 1 hour of hearings.
Yeah, because we're going to have to make that money up somewhere.
Yeah.
Are we not? I mean, you know, that was...
No, we're not going to have to make it up, Wayne. We're going to let people go out in the cold over this. 19% of the people who receive Medicaid are going to get screwed. Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what else are we... isn't that what the tobacco tax went for a couple years ago?
Well, now it's going for workers' comp.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We took it away from there. So, well, then we're going to be losing even more. Because isn't that matching funds?
Yeah.
Or for every dollar we get three or something like that?
Yeah, that was the plan.
Right. Okay. Plan changed, huh?
You could say that. Brother, we got to roll.
All right, buddy.
Later.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks to everybody in whatever means you joined the show, whether by email or just by sitting there listening and you know, maybe screaming at the radio. I never know. And for calling in. The show tonight, of course, was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Skye, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very, very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show, of course, as we mentioned earlier, is archived at whiterosesociety.org. You can go there, listen to just about any show you want to from, well, I think early February onward was when it started. Just click on it, sit down, have a blast. We sure do appreciate what Ben Birch does in that regard. Tomorrow night, same time, 7 o'clock.